Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We spent a great hour talking with Jeff Shara about his latest historical novel about the Civil War. Certainly literature can have an impact. One of our next guests got involved with being a Civil War reenactor in part because of a novel that she read during that time period. Larry Mueller here. So great to have you along today on the Ideas Net. We're going to spend the rest of the program talking with two members of the Muskets and Memories Civil War Era Reenactment Committee in Boscobel, and they're going to tell us about an upcoming event and certainly answer your questions as well. Maybe you're a Civil War reenactor. Maybe you've gone to watch an event. We'd love to hear your comments about it. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Mary Leifheit is one of our guests today. She started painting miniatures and sewing costumes that led to becoming a member of the Muskets and Memories Civil War Era Reenactment Committee. She's taken a role on roles as a civilian Civil War reenactor, as Elizabeth Van Loo, I believe, and then as a Civil War military reenactor with an artillery unit. And did that to better understand the role of Civil War reenactors. And Marie, welcome.
Thank you for having us, Larry.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Keegan Campbell, a sophomore at Fenimore High School, who's been reenacting for 6 years already. He first got started, I think through his grandmother. We'll find out. He portrays a cavalryman and an artilleryman as part of the 9th Virginia Cavalry and McGregor's Battery, so he is in Southern dress and does about 8 events a year and has even attended the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg Civil War reenactment. And there were like 15,000 reenactors. I wish I could have been there for that. Keegan, good to have you with us. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry.
How did you, so you were about 10 years old, right, when you got started?
Yep.
Tell us that, sir. How did that happen?
Well, my brother and my sister had been reenacting, and my grandma asked me if I wanted to try it, and I said yes and got hooked the first day of it.
And you've been doing it ever since, and do about 8 a year?
Yep.
Well, and Mary, you've been involved for longer than that.
Yeah, about 22 years.
Yeah.
22 years.
What's the purpose of historical reenactment?
Our reenactment is basically educational, and it's also to honor the veterans and the events that happened before us to make America the country that it is today.
Yeah. You play two very different roles. Tell us about those roles.
Well, which two?
Well, you were playing, who was the woman you were playing?
Elizabeth Van Loo.
Yeah, Elizabeth Van
Loo. Do I have a moment for just a quick story about that one?
Sure.
Okay. We were doing a program in one of the schools in Iowa, and they wanted a hooker or a fallen woman.
Yeah.
And I had a lady all lined up. It was a middle school, and this is the age of interest in that sort of thing, I guess. And at the week before, the lady called me and says, "Oh, my gosh, Marie, I can't do this." Well, I didn't really know any people like that, so they still wanted something very interesting, so I did some very quick, more in-depth research, and I came up with Elizabeth Van Loo, who was a spy for the Union and lived in Richmond, Virginia, if you can imagine.
Yeah.
Now, she was branded Crazy Bet because anybody living in Richmond surely was not an abolitionist. So she took the Crazy Bet a few steps farther, and she portrayed a crazy person. Her family had been very wealthy, so she was allowed into the circles of the Confederate officers and just kind of eavesdropped, and that's how she started. And her story is just absolutely fascinating. Her name is Elizabeth, Vanlew, if you want to look it up. Mm-hmm. It's just a very fun character to portray.
Oh, it must have been a lot of fun. I know I interviewed Jennifer Cheverini a while ago. I don't know if you know Jennifer or of her
book. Not personally, but I've read her books, yes.
Yeah, and she has a very interesting book about that very character, that very person, I shouldn't say character, that was a lot of fun to talk with her about. So you, how do you research your roles then? You said you'd quickly researched, but...
Well, when I started, the internet was not as available as it is now because it was 22 years ago, and I didn't even know how to work a computer. Now I'm still learning. But the computer is quite advantageous to our hobby. Getting together with other reenactors is, we're not only reenactors, we're educators. And we're just more than willing to share every tidbit of information and knowledge that we have.
I want to mention, as you listen to us talking here, as I talk with Marie and Keegan, I hope you'll go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, because probably by this time, Judith Sears Poisson has posted a photo of the two of them, and they're posing in their, or they came today, we asked them to come today in their costumes, which probably when you're walking around the University of Wisconsin campus in those costumes, you might have gotten a second look or two.
No, we got dressed here.
Oh, you did it here.
Oh,
ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, that's a wonderful picture of the two of them. So I hope, as you listen today, I hope you'll take a look at that picture on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And by the way, if you call in, if you have a question or maybe an experience to share regarding attending a reenactment or actually being part of one, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call or email us at talk@wpr.org. Looking forward to hearing from you. The other role you play was as an artillery. Was it an artillery?
I'm a certified gunner, but not terribly active. I mean, the guys really don't want me giving orders. I just basically did it so I could have the experience of what a reenactor experiences, because I'm basically an organizer and a civilian reenactor.
Well, now, Keegan, you tell us about your role.
I play one of two roles at each reenactment. I can either do artilleryman or cavalryman.
And how did you research that? I mean, you had to learn how they actually operated, I assume.
I use numerous magazines and books, and the biggest way I research it is by walking up to other reenactors and asking them, hey, is this authentic, or what did they used to do back then?
And go from there. And is there acting involved in this, or how does it feel when you're out there?
There's a lot of acting involved. It's basically like a gigantic stage, the field is.
Yeah. And Marie, how does it all get planned? I mean, you know the results of the battle. I mean, you're typically, there may be particular battles that you're reenacting, and you know the results, but still, that takes organization and a whole lot of planning, I would think.
Well, most Civil War era reenactments are much more than just the battles. Just about every event has a different battle on Saturday than on Sunday, but we also have a very large civilian contingency, because the civilian life did go on during the Civil War, just like we have our conflicts across the pond, one might say, but our civilian life still goes on in 2014 here. We have a lot of medical. Now, if you want to see where medical started, basically, you come to a reenactment, because we have some phenomenal medical demonstrations immediately after the battles. Very realistic, of course, they aren't, but this is all acting.
Yeah, and so you actually saw how the... Well, I think a lot was learned, frankly, as Doctors learned a whole lot.
That's how it is with every war.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate way that...
but it comes out of necessity.
Yeah, so... The battles themselves, do we get groups of people together to sit down? How do you plan these things out?
Okay, we have a Confederate commander and a Union commander, and the two of them decide which battles they're going to do. This year, we're doing Peachtree Creek and Another battle that was approaching Atlanta, which is Bald Hill. Our battles are in Boscobel are scripted in that they are follow as closely as possible to the original battles that actually happened. Now, the battles were very closely logged by company writers, whatever. So, you know, we can do that. Because, say, an original battle like Peachtree Creek would have been 5 miles along the creek. Well, we have a battlefield the size of maybe 2 football fields. Mm-hmm. So, as in acting, there is a lot of imagination goes into it, too.
We have Beth in Milwaukee is on with a question, so let's go there. Beth, hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, I have less of a question and more of a comment. I grew up with reenactors, and I had a horse that was bombproof. So he actually is the one that put on the miles. I just got to hang out. And as a tween and a teen, it was really great. It was really fun. I got to learn about history without even trying. And usually my horse was out on adventures, and I got to stay around and hang out with the guys.
Okay, I do want to make an additional comment to what you said about horses. There is a nasty, nasty rumor that the horses' eardrums are pierced so they're not frightened by the gunfire and the cannon fire. That is totally not true. These horses are absolutely thoroughly trained, and I'm sure your horse was too.
And you can...
Yeah, he was solid as a rock.
Yep.
And you can attest to the fact that his eardrums were not pierced. Beth.
Oh, definitely, especially if there was a mare around, he would answer.
He knew just what to say.
Thank you so much for calling. I'm glad to know. The horse was a reenactor. And obviously you need horses.
Yes.
As part of it. George in Madison sent us a note. How do you get to be an officer? Who decides?
You come up through the ranks just like in the regular military.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
So you start
there out. There are a few who are self-appointed officers, but they're not accorded the respect unless they're just portraying a first-person officer. Okay. But if they're going to do any commanding, they have to come up through the ranks too.
Okay, so they have to kind of learn how it.
Oh yeah.
How it goes if they're going to do it.
They just can't step off the boat and take over.
You mentioned the battles, or we think about the battles, but there's also a lot of other things depicted in a reenactment. Talk about some more of those and what goes on.
Well, I could talk about the civilians. We have a civilian camp there, and they portray just about every aspect of the civilian life, whether it was farming or beekeeping or candle making, broom making, whatever. We usually have a few period politicians. We don't have any contemporary politicians there because our event is, say, political. But like I said, we have the medical. We have the cavalry.
So there's a lot extra there. Keegan, for you, is every reenactment event different? Are they, you know, they're focusing on different events, aren't they? Or are the same, you do the same battles most of the time?
It's usually a different battle every reenactment I go to. I mean, after a couple of years, they'll repeat the big ones, but usually every year it's a different battle.
And what was it like to be at Gettysburg? Were you part of the reenactment at Gettysburg, or were you there as an observer?
I was part of the reenactment, and it was pretty astonishing to see how many people gathered just for this event. There was an infantry line of 2 people thick that was 1 mile wide, marching across the field and going up to assault the Union line. It was pretty amazing.
Pickett's charge, in other words.
Yeah.
I walked that ground when I was at Gettysburg, and it was a moving experience just to walk the ground with one of the park rangers explaining how things went as across that field. It must have been unbelievable to watch it from an observer's point of view, but then also to participate. How did it feel walking across?
It felt awesome, pretty cool.
Yeah, I would bet. Bonnie in Barron County has a question. Hi, Bonnie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. My question is how do you keep, as far as your costumes are concerned, how do you find or create authentic costumes using what kind of materials? And the construction, is construction always done in the old-fashioned way, or do you use modern sewing machines? Just basically some insight into the costume.
Okay, first I'll say that the sewing machine was invented, in parentheses, by a woman in 1856. But in 1856, women weren't allowed the privilege of recognition, so her husband invented the sewing machine. Yes. I have to get that in. So, but sewing machines were not very common during the Civil War. They were available, but they were somewhat pricey and not terribly common. So most of the work was done by hand, which, of course, takes a very long time. I make my own garments, and I use period construction techniques, of which there are numerous resources you can get off the Internet. Things like the long seams in the skirts I do by machine. Now, in the 1860s, aniline dyes were just becoming available, and that made the colors more brilliant. Before that, the colors were somewhat subdued. The fabrics were also natural fibers, which were silk, wool, cotton, and linen, or possibly a combination of those. Yes?
Very interesting. Bonnie,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. And Keegan, you've got what looks like an actual Southern costume. Well, not, I should say a costume, but military wear that you're wearing there. It looks really pretty real.
Yeah. After a few reenactments, you get dirt on it. I mean, it sinks in and they start to look like they were actually in the Civil
War. And smell.
And look and smell like they were in the Civil War. Oh, man. Well, are there both military and civilian characters then presented when you do your reenactments?
Yes. Sometimes during the original battle, civilians were either directly involved or peripherally involved in the engagements. Frequently, they helped clean up the battlefields afterwards and tend to the wounded.
And people are going to have a chance to see quite soon now. You've got an event coming up, if I'm
August
not mistaken.
August 2nd and 3rd in Boscobel, yes.
August 2nd and 3rd. Tell us about that event.
Well, it's one of the largest. We'd like to say it is the largest in the upper Midwest. It's a very, very popular event, very well attended. It's in Boscobel, Wisconsin. Basically, it's at Cronshank Park, which is on the south end of the city of Boscobel. We have not only the battles, of course, but we have, we're doing something a little different this year. And I hope it's not to too many of those of you chagrin. In the past, we've always had fashion shows. And there's ladies walking around in all their finery. And we figure, you know, all these years of having fashion shows, people can walk up to a lady in a dress and say, tell me about it. So this year, instead of having the fashion show on Sunday, we're having a lady who's coming up from Past Christian, Louisiana, and she's doing a program on women in the military during the Civil War.
Oh,
now,
excellent.
This was just about as most controversial thing as you'd ever want to do at that time. So that's what we're doing. It's still of interest to women, but that's what we're doing on Sunday. On Saturday, we're having an absolutely phenomenal storyteller by the name of Hannah Jackson. She probably rivals Eartha Kitt for her storytelling abilities, and Eartha Kitt was just phenomenal. On Saturday evening, and this is one of our highlights, we have a military civilian ball, which is held outside. Everyone is welcome. It's open to the public, and there's no charge. Just prior to that, we have a pie and ice cream social. We do encourage people to dress in period attire, but it's not absolutely required. On Saturday afternoon, after the Saturday battle, we have a very elegant Ladies' Garden Party. Now, I have to blow my horn here a little bit. A few years ago, at a Gettysburg reenactment, one of our people was being followed by a group of women who he did not know, and the ladies were talking about garden parties, and they said, and this is at Gettysburg, quite a distance from Boscobel, if you want to go to a garden party, go to Boscobel.
Ah!
That's a little horn-blowing there, but, you know.
Well, why not? So, and all this, of course, I mean, to come and attend, it's free to for people to come.
Yes, yes. The garden party, everything is free. Everything that happens in the park, you do need to pay for, but it's a one-time fee, and that's $10 for adults. Or if you have groups, you can give me a call, and we can have set up group rates.
As well. Okay. And, again, what are the dates for that?
The dates for the basic event are August 2nd and 3rd. Now, in conjunction with our event, the American Civil War Shooters Association, or the ACWSA, has concurrently live fire out at the Sportsman's Club. Now, I do have to say that all the firing that goes on in the park at Boscobel is, they're all duds.
Not real bullets. Yeah,
no real cannons, no canister, no nothing. But there is live fire out at the Sportsman's Club. So.
Well, and that, again, the date, August 2nd?
2nd and 3rd.
August 2nd and 3rd. And is there a website by any chance?
Yes, www.musketsandmemories.org.
Musketsandmemories.org.
It's all spelled out, yep.
Musketsandmemories.org.
Yes.
Well, Marie and Keegan, this has been great. The time flew. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, Marie Leifheit and Keegan Campbell. Keegan, a sophomore at Fenimore High School. Marie has been involved with reenactments for over 20 years now. And please do go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show and take a look at the wonderful photo of the two of them in their period costumes. They look just great. And I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you'll please stay with us. As always, lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.